Blog Talk Radio.
And then him gone last. And all some really want is a little restaurant. Just a little
have to keep it turning, never make it stop now. Never listen to the one them who are saying that I can. Hold on.
Get up off your rump and help yourself. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. You're now tuned into the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad. Peace and blessings. I'm glad you can join me today. I was going to start the show out with Twisted Sister, singing We're Not Going to Take It Anymore, but I figured that I had to ease us into this subject because it's a serious subject, and I didn't want to scare anybody off. I don't want anybody to think that I was not being sane and rational when I say we're getting ready to go hard in the paint. We really can't afford to take it anymore. And consumers are getting punked. All of those are very serious statements and serious assertions. So, you know, we're going to take this nice and easy, nice and slow in the beginning, because as you know, on the No Romance Without Finance show, I'm going to ask you to do some things toward the end. And I need you to be prepared. I need you to be on board with me, because your survival, your well-being, and the well-being of your family is really at stake. Economically, we are in a very, very bad position. And we need to do something about that, because the near future and the changes that are taking place right now are not in our favor. So, even though we're about to go hard, even though we're getting ready to declare we're not going to take it anymore, we're going to ease into this. So, I want to thank you, first of all, for tuning in, paying attention, and for answering my call. Okay? Consumers are getting pumped. What does that mean? Consumers are getting pumped. Well, as it turns out, just about everything that we buy, everything that you have in your home, everything that you spend money on, for the most part, we buy from somebody, or we buy from a company that's owned from somebody outside of our community. Now, hold up. That's not the getting punked part yet. We spend money that comes into the black community, into black hands, almost as quickly as we get it. And then we take it and give it to people who, one, don't support the well-being and the development of our community, and number two, more likely than not, they do support things that are actually detrimental and harmful to us and to our community. So it would be one thing if we went and supported people who just didn't support the black community. It's another thing entirely to go and support businesses that take the money we give them and they actually end up funding groups, people, operations that are harmful to us, harmful to black people, harmful to the black community. But guess what? We do that every daggone day that we spend money. Think about the things you buy. Think about the things that are in your home. Think about the coffee you buy. Think about the Starbucks cup. Think about McDonald's. Think about going to the supermarket and all of that genetically modified food that you load your cart up with. We know that during the Trayvon Martin trial, the Trayvon Martin killing that resulted in the George Zimmerman trial, news and word came out about the Koch brothers, or Koch brothers, or whatever their names are, and how they and the products that their company produces ends up supporting movements like the Tea Party and other right-wing movements that obviously mean no good to black people in America. And many of the views that we hold near and dear to our hearts, certainly, they don't support those type of ideals. But we faithfully go and choose the various brands of products that we buy every day. Think of how every one of us just about has a smartphone. Okay, we got an iPhone. Some people can't wait to jump on the iPhone 5S. We got a Droid, you know, Samsung, whatever the brand name is, whatever the model or make is. We all gotta have it. Gotta have it. I think it was something like $19 billion is spent yearly on cell phones by, from the black community. Out of that $1.1 or $1.2 trillion that they say flows through black hands every year, $19 billion is spent on cell phones. Here's a question for you. Do you own any stock in Apple? Ask yourself that question. Do you own, as much as you drink coffee, do you own any stock in Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven even? Do you own any stock in Nike? For those of you who got the whole collection, every time that a new pair of Nikes come out, or what is Michael Jordan's company, Jumpman 23, every time a new pair comes out, you got to get it. Do we own any stock in that? Any stock in Apple? Any stock in Google? Many of us, I advertise this show and promote this show on Facebook. Some of us are on Facebook from the time the day starts until the time the day ends. And Google is, Facebook is making money off of that. Are you making any money off of that? Do you own any stock in Facebook? Some of us are Twitter fanatics. We're on Twitter all the time. Got to be in the know, got to be involved. Twitter is about to have their public initial public offering, and the valuation of Twitter is going to be $5 billion. Twitter is worth $5 billion. Initial investors, early investors, they stand to make a killing, a fortune, when Twitter hits that IPO later on this fall. As black people, as people in the nation, do we own any of that? Have you thought about purchasing any of that? Have you thought about putting yourself in a position where all of the revenue that's generated on a daily basis from these items in any way comes back to our community? If we don't own it, if we don't invest in it, if we're not at least even trading it so that as it rises in value or falls in value, we put ourselves in a position to profit off of that transaction. If we're not doing any of that, then we're actually hustling backwards, we're losing ground, and we're talking loud and saying nothing and not doing what we have to do. On the front cover of the Final Call, the current issue of the Final Call newspaper, the whole focus is on farming and the need for us to focus on land and the value of black farmers and how the federal government is actually responsible for some of the abuses and discrimination that black farmers are encountering. Not only is that a problem, but on the other side of the coin, I was just reading about the Monsanto Protection Act. That's not the actual name. That's what it's commonly known as, the Monsanto Protection Act. Turns out that there's a law on the books now that says if there's a grower, producer of seed that is actively growing and producing their seeds, at any point in time, they can be deregulated. Okay, they can be taken from under government regulation, so that even if there's some kind of legal action against them, even if, there's public outcry that, oh, wait a minute, we're getting this corn that's made with, genetically modified material or Roundup Ready, it's actually producing its own pesticide and we're about to eat it. Not that it's going to stop producing pesticide after you eat it, but that's what it does. You can't sue or bring into court the company that's producing this seed. Okay? So not only are they attacking the black farmers and making it harder for a regular gardener, grower, farmer, whatever, to just have their stuff certified to be on the market as organic, as healthy, as what you should choose, they're stopping the good guys from doing what they have to do, and they're allowing the people who it obviously seems would be our enemy to freely do what it is they're doing and not have any repercussions brought against them. So when it's grocery time, when it's, you know, Saturday morning, it's time to hit the supermarket, get what you need, and you go down the cereal aisle and you pick up the, you know, the Frosted Flakes, and you pick up the Kellogg's Special K or Corn Flakes or Honey Nut Cheerios, whatever your pick your poison, whatever you like to choose. Whether you go down the whether you go around the edges, like they tell you, go in the supermarket and just stick to the edges, that's where you find the real food. Whether you go into the produce aisle and you find the seedless watermelon. How you get seedless watermelon? Ain't no seeds. Where do they come from? Seedless watermelon. Think about it. Stuff that's on the market nowadays that wasn't even around like 50 years ago. Where did you get this from? I really want to know. How do you grow seedless watermelon? Where do seedless watermelon come from? Something's up with that. But all of the food that we choose and fill up our cart with and think that we're doing something for ourselves, we're actually getting fooled. We're actually getting punked as consumers. And I don't know about you, but I can't take that laying down. Ice Cube had a song called No Vaseline. I get the impression that that's not a good thing, but that is exactly what's happening. We have to wake up. We were told by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 2010 at the Holy Day of Atonement celebration, at the celebration and commemoration of the Million Man March. We were in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the theme and the tone of that march, of that event, seemed like it was focused wholly on economics, economic development, and us waking up, first of all, and developing the will to go for ourselves, to become self-sufficient and independent. One of the things he said during that lecture, during that speech he made in Philadelphia, was that business is warfare. And in case you haven't noticed, we are at war. That's an interesting statement to make. In case you haven't noticed, we are at war. Business is warfare. It's a dog-eat-dog world, no doubt about it. And what he also said is, our economic survival as a people is at stake. Our survival is at stake. Now it's moved from just economic survival to straight up survival. Somebody is controlling the food that you eat and the food that's grown in America and sold in your supermarket that you buy without even thinking about it, without a second thought. Now, I just talked about the fresh food that you would get from the supermarket. That doesn't even go into the stuff that you are consuming if you go to the drive-thru, or if you like to hit the pizza shop, or if you're one of those people who eat out at restaurants all the time, you like the mall at the food court at the mall. And the stuff that they're serving. Think about it. Where is this stuff coming from? Are we guaranteed that this is organic, that this is not genetically modified? Matter of fact, one of the things that President Obama said he would do upon coming into office was make sure that we know what's in the food, make sure that labeling of food takes place so that we know and it's a fact. If there's genetically modified food, it has to say so. That's one of the things that President Obama promised that he would do upon coming into office. Hasn't been done yet. Every time it's even brought up and there's an attempt made at it, it just gets shot right back down. How did that happen? How did that happen? The president made a promise. But for some reason, something is stopping him or tying his hands from doing that. That's something to be concerned about. Now you go to the supermarket and they tell you, okay, look at the little barcode, look at the little label. If you see the number on your apple, for instance, or your banana, right next to the barcode where they scan, if it starts with a 4, that means it's probably just conventionally grown. Chances are it's genetically modified, but it certainly is not organic. If the number starts with 9, if the number starts with 9, then it's supposed to be organic, meaning they don't use pesticides and chemicals and things like that in there. But there's nothing that denotes whether the food is genetically modified. Now they have a couple of new numbers. You know, if it starts with 8, it's supposed to mean something. If it starts with a 5, I think it means something. But a game is being played with us. Our survival is at stake. And we have to find a way to put ourselves in position to take some of, to take back some of that money that is just freely flowing out of our community. We got to put ourselves in position to get some of that money back or keep some of that money in our community. Because the only place that we're going to get good food that isn't harmful to us is if we grow it ourselves. And then when we grow it ourselves, we purchase it from ourselves, barter and trade it from ourselves, whatever we have to do, whatever system of exchange that we begin to use amongst ourselves, we have to learn this and implement it. Okay? The money that's going out of our community on big screen TVs, on various brands of cars. Everybody likes the Chrysler 300. Ooh, it looks like a baby Bentley. I think Cat Williams said, no, it don't look like a baby Bentley. It looks like a Chrysler 300. Stop fooling yourself. Stop throwing money away. When is the last time that Chrysler came to the black community and found a real problem that needed a real solution and said, we make billions of dollars every year. We'll put some of that back into improving life in black communities across America. They don't do that. Chrysler does not do that, has not done that, will never do that. But for whatever reason, we got a loyalty to Chrysler. We got a loyalty to Cadillac, Escalade. Why? They don't love you. Like Snoop said, they don't love you. So we need to flip the script, turn that back around, find out how we can put ourselves in position to profit right along with those companies that are profiting and take those profits and put it back into our community, okay? So this is where we get into the action plan. This is where we get into the steps on what needs to be done by each and every one who's listening to this show . My computer went down. I had to get back into the switchboard for the show. But we have to get into the action items and the steps of what we're going to do, we who are listening, the ones who really need to wake up, what we need to do so that we can put ourselves in a position where we're no longer being punked, where we're no longer being taken advantage of as consumers. Last night, I was on a webinar done and hosted by the Black Trading Gods. If you don't know who the Black Trading Gods are, you need to get to know them. The subject and the topic of economics, finance among black people has to become as common as talking about scandal on Thursday night. Has to be as common as talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta or R&B divas. We got to make it that popular to talk about finance and economics and land as the basis of freedom and farming being the engine of national life. We got to change the conversation that's taking place among black people in America. So if you're listening to me, again, like I said, you know, I'm taking it easy because going hard in the paint can scare some people away. And I certainly don't want to do that. I want us to get on board, share a common vision. There's a story I heard recently. Let me throw some names out there at you. Elon Musk. Elon Musk is the founder of PayPal, the founder of the new car startup company called Tesla. They make the electric, 100% electric, high-performance luxury car. He's also the founder of the company SpaceX and SolarCity, both of which are cutting-edge companies that do big government contracts and are actually very, very key in innovation as far as the business and industry scene goes today. He's been likened to like the Tony Stark of real life. Okay, so yeah, I know it seems like Tony Stark and Iron Man is just pretend, but yeah, while we are just looking and being entertained, there are people out there who are shaping the world. This guy is actually talking about building magnetic levitation type of transportation system that would take people from New York to California in 45 minutes. We think that's impossible, or we sit around and look at it and, you know, talk about it like, oh, you know, that sounds great, good idea, making it happen. Okay, so this guy, Elon Musk, who runs the company Tesla. Tesla is a car company that's been going up in its value steadily and consistently for the past year or so, at least. Tesla is actually doing very well, exceptionally well, because they're on the cutting edge and they cornered something that now BMW and Mercedes-Benz and all these other car companies are getting on board with. Tesla is the major player. Tesla is the big boy in the game. They've got the point. This college student, young college student, I can't remember what school he was going to, but 22 years old, I think he is, took his life savings of $30,000, took his college fund, $30,000 was all he had. And he put that, he invested that into Tesla. He bought stock, bought ownership stakes in the company Tesla. And as Tesla began to rise in the current uptrend that it's in, as Tesla began to rise, his $30,000 investment is now valued at $250,000, because he wasn't thinking like a consumer. He didn't say, oh, I got $30,000. Tesla's the new hot car. Let me go floss in my ride. Let me go get one and sit it on Dubs. Sit it on 22s. Let me go get one and pull up in front of the church or the mosque, or pull up in front of my girlfriend's apartment in it. He took his $30,000 and he bought ownership in the company. He didn't own the car, which probably depreciates in value like any other car. He owns a part of the company, and now his $30,000 investment is valued at $250,000 and steadily increasing. We don't think like that, but why? Why? How many young black girls and, unfortunately, now boys are wearing these Uggs boots? How many? Think about it. You see them everywhere, right? And we've seen them everywhere for years now. It's a popular trend. It has gone up and increased in value and made quite a few people very wealthy because they invested or they traded. There were times over the past few years when the value went up, and there were times when the value went down. There were people, because they know and understand, or at least they learned, they took the time to learn the systems that operate the market, or that the market operate on, and they put themselves in a position so that no matter whether they had a pair of Uggs or not, they profit off of the transactions that are taking place with that particular industry, that particular product. We got to start getting savvy in that area. We have to start learning trade and commerce. We have to start learning the art of business. Why? Because business is warfare. And in case you haven't noticed, we are at war. Very simple statement, but clear and to the point. In case you haven't noticed, we are at war. All right, my switchboard is coming back up. So now, let me see if you care to join this conversation, and I hope we have some people who want to come in and join the conversation. I need you to call in. Number 646-716-5971. Get one on your phone, and I'll know that you want to join the conversation. But I want to share something with you from the final call. Let me give you that number again for those who want to call in, and I hope we get some people to join this conversation. It's not just about me talking and stuff. I want you to do this. I hope that when I give the action item, we can go back and we can look and see that more people went to the website or more people went signed up and asked for further information in detail. Okay? So keep that in mind. You're going to be called to action. We're about to take our first break. We're at the top of the hour. It's a little bit after 8 o'clock. We're going to go ahead and take a break for a minute. And then when we come back, we're going to hear from our sponsors. And then we're going to go ahead and get into the rest of tonight's topic because back to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. Had quite a few technical difficulties. I think my phone disconnected right in mid-sentence right before we went to the break. So that break came right on time. But I want to hear from our sponsor now. For those of you who don't know, you know we're just talking about consuming, how consumers are getting the short end of the stick and how no matter where we go to spend our money, we're finding that that money goes out of our community and either works against us or at best it just sits or goes to help somebody else and doesn't help us. But in many instances, it's going to work against us. We have to turn that around. So our chief sponsor for the No Romance Without Finance show is actually providing a product that every one of us uses, bathroom tissue. You use bathroom tissue. Whatever brand you are buying now, chances are, does not give money back to the black community. So I want to direct you and ask you to change your buying habits, change your spending habits, and support Freedom Paper Company and Freedom Bathroom Tissue. Freedom Bathroom Tissue is the only black manufactured bathroom tissue in America. Okay? There are quite a few others who are private labeling or who are, you know, buying bathroom tissue from wherever and just putting their name on it. But the only black manufacturer of bathroom tissue currently is Freedom Paper Company. Support that company and make Freedom your brand. Freedom is what you deserve. So visit the website, www.freedompapercompany.com, and begin at least with bathroom tissue, Freedom Bathroom Tissue. Okay. In addition to bathroom tissue, Freedom Paper Company also provides paper towels, also provides printer and copy paper, trash bags, latex gloves, everything that you use around your home for cleaning purposes, liquid soaps, cleansers, foam soaps, hand sanitizers, but also for commercial properties, commercial venues. So if you have a daycare, a school, an office, break room in your office, whatever the case may be, Freedom Paper Company can supply all those needs. So let's start supporting and looking for companies that actually will come back and support you. All right. Let's get back into this. This issue of the final call, which is right in line and in tune with what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been speaking about on his The Time and What Must Be Done lecture series that takes place every Saturday. This current issue of the final call is putting the focus squarely on black farmers and why we need to pay attention to what's going on with black farmers, why we need to support the cause of black farmers, and in addition, why we need to make it a point, every one of us individually, to learn more as much as we can about gardening and growing, whether we're urban in the city, they have something called urban farming and urban growing, or whether you're actually out in rural areas. You might live in Texas, North Carolina. You might live in South Carolina, Alabama. No matter where you are, we need to go back to the land. Okay? Back in World War II, I think it was, there were shortages on quite a few items. And Americans all over this country began what's called victory gardens. Okay? Everywhere you can imagine. People in their backyard were starting to grow their own food. Everybody, it was cool and trendy to have a tomato bush grown in your backyard. Cool and trendy if you had your own apple tree. Okay, you grew your own cabbage or your own lettuce or your own broccoli or spinach or whatever the case may be. We need to go back to that. Doesn't matter if you live in an apartment. Doesn't matter if you live in a high rise, be way up off the ground. Doesn't matter if you live in the concrete jungle, you know, you got one of those houses where they don't have front yards, they have the pavement out front. You can get yourself a bucket, you can create a raised bed, you can build a box and just put soil in it. There's ways to learn. You don't even have to do anything sophisticated to learn. It's inexpensive and it doesn't take a lot of time and effort. You can learn what you need to learn about growing on YouTube. You can learn anything on YouTube. But now is the time for all the things that we bother to spend our time on. Now is the time to start learning about growing our own food, okay? If there's any place where we're getting punked as consumers the most, that's the area, food. So now, I say we're getting punked with food. That takes us to the next level of the conversation. Turns out that as far back as the 70s, probably earlier than that, but as far back as the 70s, some major players, major political players on the scene were actually planning your demise. People way back in the 70s, when you were just learning why Bert and Ernie, look so funny, when you were just learning the difference between Big Bird and Snuffleupagus, back in the 70s. I can't remember. I'm trying to remember some of the shows from back in the 70s, but it doesn't matter. Back in the 70s, people like Henry Kissinger, the big new Brzezinski, people like that were on the scene, and they were looking at controlling world population. They were devising plots and figuring out how to reduce the population of the world by a few billion people, 2 to 3 billion people that already exist. They were trying to come up with ways to get rid of 2 or 3 billion people that are on the planet. Let that sink in for a minute. Remember, consumers are being pumped. We think that the devil can't fool a Muslim, but every time you spend money, and you don't get something in return off of that transaction, you don't get money back in return off of that transaction, you lose money and you end up getting something that is not good for you. So, in effect, the devil is fooling the Muslims. The ones who are wise and civilized, the ones who have knowledge of self, the ones who have supreme wisdom, you and me, we are getting punked. How does that make you feel? How can you live with that and just be okay with it? That's why I went with the title of the show the way that I did. We can't take this anymore. We can't let another day go past and continue doing the same thing that we've been doing because it hasn't been working for us. And if we know that it's not good, we know it's not meeting our needs, and we continue doing it, then we need to change our names to Stuck on Stupid. Not all wise and civilized. Not wise and intelligent. You're not supreme in anything if you know that every day the most vital resource that you have in your possession, or one of the most vital resources, money, you go and give it to fuel people and movements that are actually working against you and yours. How silly is that? So we're all wise enough and intelligent enough to know when we need to make a change in habit, to know when we need to change direction. So as I promoted earlier on the show many, many months ago, it's time for a Buy Black campaign. It's time to start identifying entrepreneurs and companies that are within your own community. If you're part of the Nation of Islam, you need to religiously make it your business to support and purchase vital needs from other people in the Nation of Islam. If you're part of one of those big mega churches, you need to make it your business to find out where the entrepreneurs in your community, your church, are, and make it your business to do business with those businesses, okay? Keep it inside your own community. If you're Black, if you're Latino, if you're Native American, we all cut from the same cloth, for real. We need to get together and make it our business to start to do business together. Okay, because everybody outside of those segments of the human family, everybody outside of our community is doing just that. Everybody. There's nothing wrong with Jewish people knowing and understanding that they need to take care of them, and they need to make sure that when it's time to spend money, resources, jump on a bandwagon, defend the cause, whatever, it puts them in the best position that anybody could possibly be in. They understand about self-preservation. They understand that business is warfare, and they know that if their survival were at stake, they better do something to put themselves in a place of security. Everybody gets that. We've heard of Little Italy. We've heard of Chinatown, Little Korea in some places. Down in Florida, I think they have Little Havana. Anywhere you go, you'll find ethnic enclave economics. You'll find where people who are alike, people who are from the same ethnic group, get together and they make sure they take care of themselves. In D.C., there's a portion of the Great Corridor, U Street, from about 7th or 8th Street, all the way down U Street until you get to maybe about 14th, maybe about 18th Street. Ethiopians have moved in so much and so strong that at one point they were lobbying to change that section of town and call it Little Ethiopia. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with people claiming a spot and making that spot conducive to their well-being. That's what anybody who lives in any neighborhood or community should do. If you're a community member, you make sure that that community and things that go on in that community are conducive to your well-being as a community member. We got to get that in our heads. We've got to understand that. We need one another. Our survival is being threatened. So none of us are isolated. It's not about, I'm the Black, and we Black, and we're going to make it. We can't do this without the Latinos, our Latino brothers. They think they're going to be all right. Oh, no, we're the number one minority. What's that, a goal to shoot for? Number one minority. It's not something to fight over or to shoot for. We got set up trying to aim at being a minority and hoping that somebody will give us something because we're minorities. Nobody's going to give you anything. If anything, they'll use you, step over you, and marginalize you. So we need to understand about doing for self and setting up our own systems that are self-sustaining so that we can continue to take care of ourselves for generations to come. Okay? So the whole idea and piece about ethnic enclave economics, international trade, yeah, so what? You may have to do business with people from, for example, Korea, people from China, people from various parts of Asia or Africa. Guess what? When we went to the Million Man March, when there were almost 2 million men gathered on the mall, of all the things that we could have been made to pledge to, one of the pledges that stands out the most for me is I pledge to strive to build hospitals and schools and factories and businesses and enter into international trade for the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. That's a direct quote from Minister Farrakhan saying that to the 2 million men. And if you're one of those 2 million men who was there, that's a direct quote from you because you took the pledge. You said it. I will enter into international trade. Guess what international trade is? Coffee, oranges, sugar, metal like copper, tin, gold, oil, crude oil, currencies. There are over 129 stock markets around the world and over 20 in Africa alone. Just like they have the New York Stock Exchange, the Dow Jones Industrial Index, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, all around the world, trade and commerce is going on a continual basis. We need to learn this. We need to learn this. Why? Because our economic survival is at stake. And in case you haven't noticed, business is warfare, and we are at war. The survival for you and your family, the well-being of your family, and what they eat every day in the school lunches, and when they run to McDonald's to get a snack at lunch or after school, or if they're hanging out at the mall and they want to run by Chick-fil-A or Panda Delight or whatever's down there, Taco Hell, whatever it is that we're consuming, 9 times out of 10, is working against us. Even toothpaste. You gotta brush your teeth, right? Nobody want a yuck mouth. Nobody want to know a yuck mouth. Nobody wants to talk to a yuck mouth, and you certainly don't want to hear from a yuck mouth. Everybody need toothpaste, but in toothpaste is sodium fluoride. Guess what that is? Poison. It's a toxin. One of the key ingredients in sarin gas, sodium fluoride. It's killing us. I was at the supermarket one day with my son, and I was talking to him about how, you know, all of this stuff that is marketed to children has little cartoon characters on it. He said, are they trying to trick me? I said, yeah, they're trying to trick you. Anytime you see a box of something that they, you know, somebody is trying to sell you to eat and it has cartoon characters on it, it's a trick. They're trying to trick you. We were in the produce aisle. We were walking past the apple. I said, okay, here's an example. Look at this apple here. It's a Gala apple, an organic Gala apple, sitting in a box. No frills, just an apple. Right next to that box of organic apples was an apple in a plastic package. And on the plastic package, it had a little cartoon apple. I think it was a cartoon apple. Yeah, it was a cartoon apple that was smiling and holding some kind of stick and waving and whatever the case may be. But this packaged apple said bubblegum flavored apple. How does an apple get bubblegum flavor? Got to think about it. An apple is good enough on its own. Somehow, somebody wanted to trick children into eating this apple with bubblegum flavor. Tricks. somebody is out to play a game on your mind and on the mind of your children. We got to wake up. We have got to wake up because we are fighting a losing battle. And if we don't wake up, we will be left behind. And you might end up being in one of those 2 or 3 billion people that somebody planned to take off the planet. So you got to do something. So here's what we get into the action. All right. I mentioned the Black Trading Gods yesterday. The Black Trading Gods held a webinar. It was specifically dedicated to brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam because they, the Black Trading Gods, are actively learning about trade, trading. Okay, what is trading? Trading is the exchange of goods and services that results in a profit. Okay, the only reason you trade is so that you can walk away, you know, you can get an exchange. You trade this, you trade that, and you end up with some currency. You end up with something of value that you can take to wherever else in the world you want to go and use it to grow it more or buy some more vital resources for yourself. Trading, trade. Okay, coffee growers in Jamaica want to trade their coffee beans. Gold miners in wherever gold mines are, you know, Ghana, you know, want to trade their gold for either currency or some other precious commodity. Orange growers in South Africa want to trade their oranges. They want to take their oranges to market and get a fair price. So they want to move tons and tons of oranges out of South Africa. That's called trade. And guess what? If tons and tons of oranges leave South Africa and they're bound for America, bound for Europe, or bound for South America or Asia or wherever the case may be, you and me sitting right here in America can profit off of that. Remember how during the Trayvon, you know, once the George Zimmerman trial was rendered, and they said, oh, Florida is racist. We should boycott Florida. Don't drink any more orange juice. I'm convinced that boycotts, you know, are a thing of the past. I don't know anybody who said they stopped drinking orange juice. That's about the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. Boycott something. Well, what did you buy instead? Oh, I stopped buying orange juice from the supermarket, and I just buy orange juice from 7-Eleven now. Still buying orange juice. How you know the orange juice you was buying from the supermarket in the first place was even coming from Florida? We don't know. We don't even bother to investigate anything. But the fact of the matter is that whether it's coming from Florida, whether it's coming from Chile, whether it's coming from South Africa, wherever it's coming from, it's not empowering for you to say, well, I just won't buy any anymore. It's empowering for you to put yourself in a position so that economically, wherever these oranges move, some of that profit, some of that financial gain, some of that vital resource that fuels the engine of national life, some of that comes back to you. Some of that comes back to us. That's what makes more sense. So learning how to trade for this commodity, using oranges as an example, put you in a position where you actually take the profits from that trade, whether the value of that trade is going up, whether the value of oranges is going down, it doesn't really matter. Just the fact that there's movement in the market of a commodity, once you understand that, you look for a trend, identify a trend, and find out where your place is in that trend, you ride like a wave. Ride it like a wave, profit from it, and then take the profit from that and use it to benefit yourself, your family, and your people. Remember the pledge? For the benefit of myself, my family, and my people. So I ain't inventing nothing new. I'm not saying be self-centered. Help yourself, help your family, and help your people, because you, your family, and your people are under attack now, okay? Chances are, I can almost guarantee you that these what are called urban food deserts, places where they don't have Whole Foods, where they don't have a Fresh Field or, you know, organic food shop or local growers or anything like that, I can almost guarantee you that in the black communities, in inner cities where these places exist, there's a preponderance. There's lots of genetically organic food or genetically modified food. There's loads of fast food places. There's loads of substandard food and chemicals being released into the environment that does us, our people, no good. So what are you going to do about that? You're being introduced to totally new concepts now. Two I just introduced. Deliberately and purposely, yourself, start to look for black merchants within your own community. And if you are a part of a mosque, a church, a synagogue, whatever the case may be, put pressure on the leadership and on the other members in that mosque or church or whatever to practice what they preach. A hypocrite is a hypocrite. If we're supposed to be about economics, and if we're supposed to be about buying black, and if we're supposed to be about circulating the dollars in our community, then every vital necessity that you can possibly get from within your community, you, your mosque, and the leadership in your mosque, and the members in your mosque or church or community need to be doing just that. Otherwise, don't say you a duck because you're not quacking. Don't say you got supreme wisdom because you stuck on stupid. Don't say that you're using the best of intelligence because that is not. Simple and plain. Let's practice what we preach. Buy black, practice cooperative economics, start circulating that dollar within our community, and then make good on the pledge that we all took and continually take anytime there's a guest that comes to one of our mosques or churches or groups we've all seen, these pledge cards, the same pledge that was taken at the Million Man March. I pledge to strive to build schools and hospitals and factories and businesses and enter into international trade. Learn trading. Learn how to trade. Find out where and why trade is being mentioned all throughout the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Why? What are we to do with that? Learn how and why black economics is something that black churches and black masjids and mosques and groups and all types of, you know, entities in our community need to be partaking in, need to be practicing. Enter into entrepreneur, I was told, is actually from a root, from a French word, a French root word, which means enter into an opportunity. Entrepreneur. Enter into the opportunity. We need to learn that art and science. So, for those of you who listen to the No Romance Without Finance show, chances are you're part of some of the same social networks that that we are. Okay? So what you need to do is get onto Facebook, get onto Facebook and connect yourself, number one, with myself, Vernon on Facebook. It'll show as Vernon Trader Logical Muhammad. Look me up, connect with me. Let me know that you found out about me and, you know, you sent me a friend request as a result of hearing on this show, the No Romance Without Finance show. Then also connect with Trader Fox. Put in the word Trader, T-R-A-D-E-R, and you'll see a bunch of us come up, okay? Trader Fox is a brother, a good brother, who spends his time, he's actually been a technical systems trader for over 25 years now. He's got 25 years of experience. Spends his time teaching in Dubai and Japan and Korea and Asia and, you know, various places around the world, teaching markets, teaching the science of business to people who pay lots of money to learn it. he's taken his time off from his regular schedule, and he's devoted the year of 2013 to specifically teaching the brothers and the sisters of the Nation of Islam. Okay? So what wealthy people pay him a lot of money to learn how to do, he is, how did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, acquire knowledge to benefit self and kind. He is bringing knowledge that could benefit ourselves, our family, and our people, and he's putting it right in our laps for a very, very low cost. Okay? So again, going hard in the paint. I'm asking you to take this seriously. I'm asking you to take action, and I'm asking you to share this and these concepts with the people in your community, specifically so they can take action just like I'm asking you to take. It's not good enough to just say we talked about it, we had a show about it, we said something about it. Look somebody in the eye, ask them, did you buy black today? Are you about to go buy something? And if you can buy that from your brother or your sister, why don't you? Ask them just like that. Start going into places and saying, did you buy this from a black merchant? Did you buy this from somebody in our community? Because chances are you could have. Ask the questions. Find out, where does the bathroom tissue in your mosque come from? Where do the paper cups and vital utensils and stuff like that from the clinics you go to or the school that you go to or the restaurant that you go to, where do those come from? What dentist do we go to? We got dentists right in our community. There's a shortage of black doctors, but I know we have black doctors still in our community. Why don't we develop relationships with them so that they can continue to take care of us in our community? Black lawyers in our community. Why don't we find out who they are and begin to publicize and promote who they are so more of us can begin to go to them and do business with them when we need that service? Okay? Action items. These are things that I'm asking you all to do. If you're listening to the No Romance Without Finance show and you'd like to call in, join the conversation, dial 646-716-6571. That's 646-716. Pardon me, I called it all wrong. I'm looking at three different numbers. 646-716-5971. Call in, join the conversation. If nothing less, if you don't actually call in and join the conversation, share the link to this show so that others can hear it via the archive. Okay? This is too important for us to pass up. So we've got to start publicizing conversations like this. We've got to start making conversations like this more of the norm. Okay? All right. I'm looking in the final call, because I wanted to find some of what Minister Farrakhan has been saying on this very same subject, okay? He's been talking specifically about farming, economics, and land being the basis of economic development, okay? So in the month of October, in case you didn't know, in the month of October on the 20th, the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March is going to be celebrated in Tuskegee, Alabama, right at Tuskegee Square. All right. Here's a call to HBCU students on Saturday, October 19th, at that same weekend celebration, the anniversary of the Million Man March. At the Tuskegee Municipal Complex, which is 101 Fonville Street in Tuskegee, Alabama. We should see if we can get Tom Joyner to talk about this. I mean, something as serious as this taking place in Tuskegee, Alabama, which is right where his alma mater is. Maybe he should mention it. But but there's a student conference called Building a New World. The Building a New World student conference is calling on all students who desire to construct a new world, solve the problems of our time, and secure a future for yet unborn generations to meet us in Tuskegee. For more information, go to buildinganewworldconf.com. Okay, that's Building a New World Conference, but it's conf.com. Or follow us on Twitter, Build New World, at Build New World. That's taking place on the 19th. Black college students have the responsibility and the weight of the future of Black people on their shoulders. Black youth are going to play a very critical role in the rise of our people, in improving the conditions of our people. So there's a focus that's being put on you at this year's 2013 Holy Day of Atonement, the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March and Holy Day of Atonement. There's a special emphasis being put on the role that Black students are going to play. And guess what? This isn't, you know, adults talking about students. This isn't people who have gone and gotten into the workforce talking about students. This is a students of, this is a conference of self-determined students. Students who know that the name of the game is not, you know, graduate so I can get a good job. Students who know that we're acquiring knowledge, we are learning, but we're learning, getting our degrees so that we can take that out into the world and make a way for ourselves and for our people. Okay? So this conference is being called, and it's going to be guided and directed. It's self-directed, okay? But it's going to be guided by the wisdom of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So of all the people that you can sit up under to learn and find out, well, what should I do with my talent? What should I do with my time? What should I do with my knowledge and resources that I have? The best person you could possibly listen to on that subject or to answer those questions is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So spread that word. Put the word out that all historically Black college students and Black students from colleges all around the country are being called to Tuskegee, Alabama, to participate in the Building a New World Student Conference. You don't want to miss it. Then on the very next day, October 20th, at Tuskegee Square, okay, in Tuskegee, Alabama, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to be presenting the remaining details for Muhammad's economic program. If you don't know it, this year at Savior's Day, February 26th, this year in Chicago, from Chicago, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan announced the launch of Muhammad's economic program in Muhammad's economic blueprint for ending poverty and want. Think about that. Somebody actually, just like back in the 70s, somebody was coming up with a strategy to kill off 2 to 3 billion people from the planet. Well, a little man from Georgia named Elijah Muhammad came up with a blueprint for economics that would end poverty and want. Came up with a system that if Black people began to adhere to it, we could end up creating a pool of resources, a pool of money that we could put into a Black bank and begin to invest and fund projects that would actually improve the conditions for Black people all across America. How many unemployed Black people are there in America? How many homeless Black people are there in America? How many people, Black people in America, don't have health insurance? How many Black people in America need legal defense funds? How many independent schools across America that cater to Black people need more funding, are facing budget constraints? How many? Imagine if 16 million black workers, 16 million employed black people in America got together and just put 5 cents a week together. 5 cents a day. Imagine if we did that for a year, 16 million people putting aside 5 cents a day. I think the math on that comes out to something like $291 million in a savings account that can be used to fund all the things that go into other banks won't fund. You're looking for business loans. Banks give you a hard time and they don't want to fund back black businesses. Where can we go to actually get funding for black businesses? Fair and, you know, equal, just terms on the finances. We want to start buying land, buying houses, developing land. We know that there was a housing bubble and there was a whole scandal where many of the banks were cooking up these loans that weren't in the best interest of the loan seeker. Well, what if we had a black bank that actually put together financing for the ventures that meant the most to black people and to the black community? What if you wanted to purchase a home and you just wanted a fair price and a loan that didn't end up with you paying back three times the value of the house over 30 years? What if you just wanted fair terms, manageable payments, you came out with an arrangement that was affordable to you, and the bank came out knowing that it got a good return on the loan that it made. Nobody's taking advantage of anybody else. What if we can implement that and make that reality for ourselves? Well, that is what the Muhammad Economic Program is all about, ending poverty and want. Okay? So we got action items. Here's what you do. Once again, I'll recap it because we're winding down. We're in the last, within the last 20 minutes of the show. I'm going to wrap it up with exactly what I asked you to take action on. And then we're going to just prepare for the rest of the week. Okay, because we got a heck of a lineup coming up from the rest of the Nation Building Network. But what you're being asked to do is, first and foremost, buy black. Start practicing cooperative economics. Look for, it's going to take some effort on your part, but purposely and deliberately look for black merchants, black manufacturers who offer what you regularly spend money on, especially the vital things, okay? The stuff you just got to have, again, bathroom tissue, paper towels, food, support black farmers, find black supermarkets and stores, retailers to purchase through, find black distribution networks like Black Exchange 360. Check that out, blackexchange360.com. Find out where loads of other black businesses, black merchants, black service providers dwell, so that no matter where you are in America, you can find out how to get what you need and how to make sure that the money you spend is remaining within our community. BlackExchange360.com. It's about to launch in a day or two. Check them out. Find what you need and purchase what you need from black people, preferably within your own community. Put pressure on, raise the question to, suggest to your preachers, your pastors, your ministers, the leadership in the churches and organizations that you belong to. If you're part of the Mason, find out why the master of the lodge is, you know, purchasing bounty when he could be purchasing Freedom Majestic paper towels. Find out what's in the bathroom in your house of worship. in your child's school or daycare and suggest or recommend or put pressure on them to make purchases from black manufacturers and black retailers. Okay? So it's not just you that I'm asking to do this. Let's create a movement that spreads far and wide throughout our community. Number two, learn what trading is and begin to participate in it. Enter into international trade and commerce. Remember, an entrepreneur is someone who enters into said opportunity. We took a pledge that said we would enter into international trade. There's a reason why we were told to do that, or we were made to take a pledge to do that. Hook up with us on Facebook, Trader Fox on Facebook, Trader Logical, Tradermatic, Traderology. I think there's about 24, 25 or something like that. People who are in the circle of the black trading god. Seek them out. Go see who you can find. Connect with them and then ask, how do you get the process started? How do I start learning how to trade? How do I start learning what trading is? Because if you can sit somewhere, anywhere in the world, and manage $5, $10, $15 million worth of resources because you understand how markets work and how transactions take place all around the world every day, all day long. And if there's a day when it's not taking place on this side of the planet, it's taking place on the other side of the planet. They take Saturday off, they take Sunday off. Guess what? When it's Sunday here, it's Monday there. They're already working. The market in Japan is open. So learn about trade. Connect with Trader Fox. Connect with one of the black trading gods on Facebook. On Twitter, if you're listening and you have a Twitter account, look for at the High Road. The High Road is my handle on Twitter. So connect with me. Reach out to me. Follow me on Twitter and send me a message and use the hashtag trader, T-R-A-D-E-R, hashtag trader, and I'll know what information you're looking for, and I'll know exactly how to get you started, okay? Number three, on October 20th, October 19th and 20th, if you can get to Tuskegee, Alabama to participate in the Building a New World Student Conference and participate in the 18th anniversary lecture of the Million Man March, where Minister Farrakhan is going to be laying out Muhammad's economic program to end poverty and want. Participate. Get involved. Participate in this. Okay? Be a part of this. Don't just sit on the sidelines and watch or listen and turn a deaf ear to it. And certainly, after today, don't ignore what's going on around you and don't allow other people to ignore this topic. In the 70s, people got together and worked out a plan to exterminate 2 to 3 billion people off the face of the earth. And then we started noticing AIDS spreading in Africa like wildfire. Then we started noticing the rise in instances of AIDS and autism and childhood onset diabetes and all types of things that are taking place in America, in black communities in America. We started noticing that, they used to talk about vaccinations, but now they're actually making people line up and threatening to take them to jail if they don't get their children vaccinated. There's a picture from a few years ago in Prince George's County, Maryland, where armed police officers were standing outside a line where parents were being made to take their children and get injected with some stuff We don't know what that stuff is. They might have told you it was a measles vaccination. They might have told you it was this kind of inoculation or injection to protect you against this, that, or the other. They can tell you a whole lot of crap. But they are forcing people to participate in these schemes where we already were told that, oh, about 2 or 3 billion people are going to be taken off the planet. So what do you want to do? You want to take it lying down? You want to continue to get pumped? You want to keep spending your money in places and giving your money to people that's trying to kill you, or at best do support causes that don't mean you any good? Or are you going to flip the script? Are we going to take our own survival seriously and do something about it? Are we going to put ourselves in the best position that we can be in the future so that we can really say we are practicing self-preservation? We are practicing the best of intelligence. We have supreme wisdom, and no, the devil cannot fool us today. Are we really doing that? That's what I'm calling you and asking you to do. Step up to the plate. Do something to save yourself. I know people who left the States and now they live in other countries because they see the game that's being run on black people here. Either make the move, get up and go somewhere where you can relatively be safe, or get yourself ready to take action. Learn the science of business. Learn the art of entrepreneurship. Learn what it means to trade and to be a trader. Investigate and educate yourself on international trade and commerce. Buy black. Support black farmers and begin to grow your own food and support initiatives that promote growing your own food. Here's another resource for you, growingpower.org. It's run by Will Allen out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's a pioneer in the urban farming revolution. Teaches how to make soil and how to grow or create a farming or growing system that's sustainable and that you can do anywhere, indoor, outdoor, in the wintertime, in the summertime, whether you're in the heart of the city on the main drag in Milwaukee, or whether you're in high-rise New York City, whether you're in D.C., whether you're in Philadelphia, whether you're in California, don't matter where you are. Find out who these people are. Find out what urban growing is all about. Find out what sustainable agriculture is all about. Join the Buy Black movement and be a part of this. So that's it. We're at the end of the broadcast. I told you we were going to go hard in the paint. We went from 7:30 p.m. till now it's almost 9 p.m. I was hoping that we'd get some people to join the conversation with us, but I understand it's a scary topic. And in some cases, we'd rather talk about, you know, relationships, or talk about, Sunday night football and whatever else there is to talk about. But trust and believe. There's a parable in the Bible, and I'll leave you with this. A parable in the Bible where these 10 virgins were told there's going to be a wedding. Y'all are going to be in the wedding. You're all going to marry the bridegroom when he comes. Or somebody among you is going to marry the bridegroom when he comes. Might be all 10 of y'all, might be one from among y'all, might be a few of y'all. But get yourself ready. He's going to pick from among y'all. Your survival after today depends on you being prepared when he comes. During the course of the night while they were waiting, turns out everybody went to sleep, and whatever the case may be happened. Some of them might have been burning their lamps all through the night. Some of them might have knocked their lamps over and spilled all the oil out. Who knows? I don't think it says that. But it says that they started hearing the bell ring, and they said the bridegroom is coming. You know, the one who they were waiting on is coming. He's on his way. He's close. get yourselves ready. Turns out that 5 of the 10 virgins, it says, somehow they didn't have no oil for their lamp. They weren't prepared. What were they doing when they should have been getting prepared? Don't know. Doesn't say. But it says the other 5 had oil in their lamp. And the messed up thing was, it's not really messed up because everybody was told the same thing. Everybody heard. Everybody was listening to the No Romance Without Finance show when Brother Vernon said it. They had oil in their lamp. And the messed up thing is the 5 ones that didn't have no more oil for their lamp, they said, hey, can you give us some oil from your lamp real quick? And like that commercial for Time Life when they had the Soul of the 70s commercial, the answer was, no, my sister, you got to get your own. That's kind of messed up. We know that we're a community and we all we got. But the directive has gone out. Get yourself prepared. Get yourself out of the position where you're getting suckered, where you're getting fooled, where you're getting pumped. Get up and do something for yourself. That's a word to the wise. Don't let your lamp run out of oil. Don't be found in a position where hopefully somebody will give you some of their oil when you really need some. You have time to prepare now. So take advantage of the time that you have. So that's it. That's all that I got for you. I want to thank you all for joining me on the No Romance Without Finance show this week. We made it to the end of another one, and I'm so glad because we got more work to do. Party don't stop, y'all. This week, we have quite a few awesome shows coming up. We got Brother Kareem, Kareem Muhammad, the Black Conscious Nation. His show is coming up Monday night. You got to listen, got to tune into that because it's definitely worth listening to. On Tuesday night, we have the Out on the Front Lines with the FOI. You got to tune into that because you want real on-the-ground reporting about what's going on in Black communities all across America and vital and touchy, important subjects that we can touch on. Brother Jihad, make sure that he has the most real-time, up-to-date kind of show put together that you ever did want to hear, relevant topics. And much like I try to do, you know, just talk about stuff, it gives you action items and it gives you a plan so that you can implement what's going to put you and yours in the best position possible. There's oil for your lamp. And then on Wednesday, we have DJ Black Caesar and his talented guest in the show that they put together, Black Caesar and Viviana. On Thursday night, Sister Gidget herself is on the air. She's always got a wonderful topic. Make sure you tune in to the Nation's Building Network on that day. On Friday night, we have the Putting on the New Man Study Group segment. And on Saturday, we have Young, Gifted, and Black, which is which displays some of the talent, the wonderful talent that we have in our community. So tune in. Make sure you stay connected, and we definitely will have something good for you next week when we come back. So until then, peace and blessings.
Everywhere.